Welcome to Tales of the Times, a senior citizens podcast brought to you by the Clay County Senior Citizens Center in Manchester, Kentucky. This is Peyton Stevens.
And Carmen Roberts.
Some of the people we chat with may be our clients. Some may be former clients. Some may not be clients at all. They may be family members of the elderly in Appalachia. Some may be people that have information for our elderly. We don't know where this will go, but it will be wherever the Lord wants it to go.
We basically wanted to highlight the lives of our people in Appalachia, the things they've done, their family traditions, the closeness of family and community, their strengths, their passions, and their legacy. We want their memories and stories to be told and to live on even when they are gone.
So without further ado, here is our special guest of this episode.
We hope that you enjoy.
Today's guest is one of our senior clients. We have left their identity a mystery for now. Leave your guesses in the comments and wait until next time for the reveal. All right, welcome. Joining us today is a wife, a mother, a church member for over 80 years, and a retired school teacher. Can you start out by telling us where you were born?
I was born right over there. At Horse Creek, between the river and the railroad.
All right, what's your first memory in life?
Well, I remember going to school, at a two-room school. And other than that, I think that I can remember her first house. And later we had a house by it. And I would, we were next to a big commissary from the mining community.
Was that in Hyma?
That was right across the bridge as you start up the hill.
What was life like in the 30s or your childhood in Appalachia?
Well, I was born in 30. When I was born, all these little mines were opening, and the ladies were not told very much about the mines because that was a man thing. And I remember quite a bit about the mining, but as far as I remember, it was just church and school and home life.
Well, speaking of your home life, tell us a little bit about your mother and your father.
My mother was a teacher. She was a third generation teacher. And there were six generations of us as teachers in Clay County. And my father only went to sixth grade, which was very common back at that particular time. But he sort of taught himself. He was very good with math. So as far as I remember, we were sort of like a clan. My grandmother lived right out here, and then her three or four sons were right next, sort of in a circle. So it was just like we were one big family.
Well, tell us a bit about your family. Did you have any brothers or sisters?
Yes, I had three brothers and three sisters.
What were some of the fun things you all did growing up? Games or different things?
We had to make up for games, Carmen. And one of the things, the boys would play marbles. Rolly hole, if you ever heard of rolly hole.
Yeah.
And play on the slate dog. We did have the slate dog by my time of my childhood. And us girls, we would, if we had a rope, play jump rope or hopscotch. And one of the things that I remember is we had a long board and we called the springboard. And we would jump on that plate. And that other person would go up in the sky, come down. And that was one we had killed ourselves, but that was, we'd go back to the top of the house if we was pretty good at it. But we just, we'd go to the hills and make little playhouses and have leaves that are hats, those big leaves, and we entertained ourselves.
Well, what was your life like during the Great Depression?
I don't remember this, but my father had gone to Michigan to work in the auto factory. Mm-hmm. And the Depression came. And he and Mama and Ray had to come back home. So my daddy bought a big 18-wheeler truck. International. I traced the International. I learned that. Mm-hmm. And he hauled coal to Richmond. And that was the way we made our living. And he was the only one that had a big truck like that. So he would move people. I remember from Leeds back to the coal mine and all from here to there. So this was how I was raised, with my daddy driving the truck more than being in the mine.
Growing up, what did you think that you would do in your life? What did you dream about being or doing?
Well, Carmen, our life was just this particular. We were shut out. And I remember when we got a battery radio, uh-huh, and got to hearing music. Mm-hmm. And I guess I thought, what is that there? You know, because Charlie went over the mountain to see what he could see. Now it's just another mountain. And really, I didn't have any high hopes except one thing about church. I was saved in Italy when I was 11. The sparks came. And I had this desire after a missionary came that I wanted to go and tell others about the Lord. And that's as far back as I can remember what I really wanted to do.
Is that when you heard the music and you kind of had that and got saved? Is that when you started wanting to play the piano?
I'll tell you about the piano. We didn't have one at that particular time. But the Buchanan family came in here from somewhere. You've heard of Stacy White, mm-hmm, Buck, mm-hmm, Ray Buck, and all those. And they lived in this older house of Uncle Bill's. And when they moved, they left this big piano. So Mrs. Young got charged to teach the summer. He was in high school, and I was still in grade school. Me and Joyce and Joanne and Bonnie and Phil. So Mrs. Young had him to give us lessons so he could have. I think it's a quarter of a week.
Uh-huh.
So that he could go ahead of high school to play some in the bands or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about all that. But we would walk from grade school up to cyber, and Charles would teach each one of us. And we would go up to St. Annie's to practice. And later we did get a piano at home. And the flood came and destroyed that piano. But this is about the beginning of the music. And then it became a big part of my life, as you know.
Oh, yeah. Was there somebody that you looked up to when you were growing up? Mm-hmm. And who would that have been?
That would be Miss Hallie Hitch. Preacher Rush said, Miss Hallie's mantle fell on me, and it's a Bible story. That this Elijah and Elisha, he said, I want a double portion, Lord, of what you've given to him. And I always wanted to be Miss Hallie. And when I was a little girl, I do remember this now, that we would play church, and I always had to be Miss Hallie. And I would get a chair and sit by the window and just play away, and Bonnie would lead the singing. I guess Phyllis would preach. So I guess I had Miss Hallie was my primary teacher. Mm-hmm. And then another teacher later on, and I always wanted to be Miss Hallie, and Preacher Rose said Miss play the piano on the windowsill. I told him.
Well, you mentioned Phyllis. What about some special people, some good friends that you've had in your lifetime?
Oh, honey, I couldn't name all those. Miss Sparks was her pastor's wife. She sort of took me under her wing and did some special things, like I would help her with Save the Children, clothing, and that type of thing. Uh-huh. But there were so many in church and at school, and Miss Blitzhaw, I looked up to her so much, and there were just so many, I don't want to try to count.
Well, talking about school, where did you go to school?
Elementary.
Yes, elementary.
All up here and in Penny High School, mm-hmm. and Union College.
Well, what about when you went here to elementary school? Name us a few of your teachers.
Well, I used to could name every one of them. There's Miss Hallie, and then Miss Daisy Gregory, mm-hmm. then Belle Webb, then Miss Hallie, mm-hmm. and then Captola Roberts, mm-hmm. and Tip Smith. Can you name yours, Carmen?
probably not as good as you. What about subjects? Tell me, what was your favorite subject?
English, I think. My mother was an avid reader, and I remember that Mama, as she went to high school there at Manchester, and did some at Oneida. Mm-hmm. But I remember that she had Latin, and she knew root words of, and I think that Aunt Mama said when they were in school that they would have to memorize every poem that was in their English book, and she was forevermore. I know she could say quite a bit of Hiawatha. Uh-huh. Hiawatha. Mm-hmm. You know about Hiawatha? Mm-hmm. You should listen to that one. And she was forevermore quoting things, so she was very well educated, and she was my maid. In my life.
Mm-hmm. What about, what was the first car that you ever owned?
I'm bad about models, but we married in 49, and we bought a car till I could drive to Sexton's Creek after we married. And I'm not sure of the model. Maybe it seemed like Dodge, but I'm not sure.
Sexton's Creek. Tell us a little bit about that. So you got married first and then, or you went there, and explain that to us.
No, I had 1 year of college. Uh-huh. That's all you had to have to begin teaching. Mm-hmm. And I was 18 years old. So Miss Bedsall said, I want you to go to Sexton's Creek. Uh-huh. And Mama went down there and checked everything out. At that time, you boarded with the scholars, so to speak, went down there and lived. And I know that there was a Mrs. Smith had taught there the year before me. But those ladies, that family, said they could not keep the teacher. So the Metcalfs opened their home. And anyway, I paid $15 a week to them. And I brought home $126, so that didn't leave me much.
So 15 a week,
yes,
to stay and, with them.
They had a grown family, and then they had this son later in life who was Glenn Metcalf, and he was in the fourth grade when I went into their home. Uh-huh. And they treated me like I was a queen. And I stayed there. Our school started in July. We had 7 months. So I married in October. And 70 years later, I saw this little fourth grade person. And that's another story.
So you taught...
all eight grades. And when Miss Bledsoe sent me down there, we had to check her books out. And if you came at the end of the year and the book was missing, they took that price of that book out of your paycheck. Mm-hmm. And Miss Bledsoe gave me a water bucket and a dipper and a box of chalk and 2 erasers and a broom and all the books for 8th grade. I believe I had 21 children from primer. The 8th grade boy was 16 and I was 18. He was in the 8th grade. Uh-uh. And but the main thing was that record book. No matter what you did, you kept that record and kept it up to date.
Uh-huh. What, was it a one-room schoolhouse?
Yeah, one room, and in the fall they brought a load of coal. Mm-hmm. A load of coal. Had the big stove, you know, had the one-room school to work. And about once a year, they would haul the floor. I said, I don't know, down the dust. And then if the winter time, the teacher would have to, if they wanted to, would have to pay a smaller child to build a fire. Mm-hmm. Try to have the room warm enough. Sometimes, like at Urban, where it was so cold against that mountain that we would sit around the stove. Uh-huh. And try to have her lesson. I didn't know then about you could have English in a block. You could have brought the children together. Mm-hmm. And taught the difference. But then it was more sort of grade after grade. Mm-hmm. Try to make a schedule out of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting. You mentioned getting married. So I know that your husband was in the military.
Yes.
Was he drafted or did he enlist?
Well, at that time you were drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not know Carl at that time.
So that was previous to being. So he went off to the military.
Yes.
And then when he came back, that's when you all were married.
Yes.
And that was in what year?
49.
Where was he stationed? Do you know?
He told so many. I remember that Colorado was part of it. And he was enlisted for 4 years and he volunteered 1 year. Uh-huh. After that, he goes for diesel training. And the capacity was filled, so he spent the last year in New York in an office, mimeographing and that type of work.
Right.
He was in the European theater, you do know that.
Yes, okay. How did you first meet your husband?
I met him at a ball game at Clay County High School. And a friend that knew him introduced us. I was with my sisters and cousins. I don't know how we got to go to the ball game, but we did. And we dated off and on about 2 years.
What attracted you to him? What made you want to marry him?
Well, I don't know that part. I just, you know, I had clicks now.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, he had others and I didn't. We saw others, let's put it that way.
Okay.
But he was 27. He was, and me 19, so he was quite older. We stayed married, I think, in 62 years.
Well, then it lasted.
What did you all do? What did you do when you courted?
Well, he had a little car.
Mm-hmm.
And Mama was very strict. And we had to be home at a certain time. We would go to the ball game. There wasn't much to do, Carmen T. The truth is, it was either go to the ball game or just go down. We did have a place in town called the Tavern.
Mm-hmm.
That's the young people. And I'll tell you how I got to go to the Tavern, if you want to know. And where I went, Bonnie Phillips went, it was all. When I say I was all three of us girls. But we go to choir practice with Miss Haley. She always had something going. And one of the ladies, Nora Chapman, it's dead now, she had a boyfriend that had a car. So after choir practice, we'd sneak off, but Mama knew about it too. We'd go to the Tavern and dance. And the dancing was jitterbug. We could jitterbug, but you know. And Bonnie was the best. And that was her entertainment. If you went to the Tavern, you had something. But there's a lady, a very fine lady that was the one that ran. That and she had grown children like us or teenagers.
What was her name?
Her name was one of the Garrisons. But that was something though to get to go to the Tavern. I don't know if we got to get a pot with that. Didn't have any spending money.
A lot of people back then would meet at church, too.
Yeah.
Did you do that, too, you and Carl?
Yeah, we always had a church meeting.
Well, where did you and your husband set up housekeeping when you got married?
Well, we lived with her parents often on the, really at Miss Hibbert, she was a widow. Mm-hmm. And we spent most of the time there, and I was there till sometime after Jamila was born the next year.
Mm-hmm. All right. You and your husband, you had a family. Which one of you did the disciplining of your children?
Well, I guess both of us just sort of, you know, we had rules.
Yeah.
And they were expected to keep those rules.
Mm-hmm.
But we were lenient, you know.
Times changed
by that time.
Yeah.
But I will tell you something, that there were 7 of us children, and my father never hit me one leg, and Mama Maya had a little switch of a thing. Can you imagine 3 girls?
No.
But we were never beat on, or we just had rules, and we didn't know what to do.
Right.
One thing, tell me a little bit about how you and your sisters, and who some of them married, and how you all became double first cousins with people. Tell us a little bit about that whole situation.
Well, the best that I can remember that Mama's sister, Aunt Dirty, she had gone to high school and stayed with some of the powders instead of Pop. Sister, I think. So they called it a norm school. Now, Carmen don't know anything about a norm school. But anyway, she qualified to teach. So they sent her to Horse Creek. And she boarded with the Pap Burger and Mammy Burger.
Mm-hmm.
So Uncle Howard was one of her pupils, Lucy's. And so they sneaked off and married.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the start of the Heber, the ladies and the Gregory.
Mm-hmm.
Well, later on, Mama's daddy had died and Grandma remarried and started another family. So Mama and Aunt Annie, they lived at Garrett, and they would ride something on the railroad, some kind of vehicle, and they boarded in Manchester. Mama and Aunt Annie boarded with Miss Lucas and Judge House at 2 different years. So they completed the high school. And they became teachers. So Mama stayed quite a bit with Aunt Debbie. So there was the Hibberts and there was the Riggs. So they were teachers, those 3 ladies. And then they had a brother who was a teacher, so that's 4 of them. Anyway, they were there together. So Mom and Daddy married, and then Uncle Bill and Aunt Annie. So that made, I believe there's about 40 of us, 30 or 40 couple cousins. And we were just like brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. Very close.
Mm-hmm.
Good times.
Yeah. That's strange, isn't it?
Yeah. It is nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it made for good times and a lot of family.
Oh, uh-huh.
Back to the teaching, just for a second. What were maybe some of your favorite teaching experiences, or maybe some of your worst teaching experiences?
Yeah.
Well, I think some of the best, Carmen, were some of those that I was your supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
I had good ones and I had bad ones. And some did They say I'm not attacking. I'm not getting this class. She's too hard. Your daddy and I did the training in Cumberland to be a supervising teacher. And some of them say today, you know, Miss Strick, Larry will tell me this Miss work me to death. And I know that I can't wish that. Oh Lord, one came to see me this summer. He said, Miss said I hoped and prayed to the day I'd never have to take another bolt of book. So I think one of the worst karma was when I had 42 second grade students who liked to work me today. It was too much.
Yeah. That's a lot.
That was a lot.
Especially second graders.
Yes. Oh, wow. I taught second grade, I don't know how many years up at the old school. And then when we moved on down, of the
fourth grade, yeah.
The fourth, I think, was my favorite.
Mm-hmm. What were your favorite hobbies or favorite pastimes?
Oh, honey, I guess playing the piano. Lola said I, my sister Lola said I killed her. I was 10 years older. Mama said, now you have to help with this baby, because I've got so much I have to do. He said I'd put her on my lap and sit there in the bank trying to play a tune on the piano. She said she never did want to play. Oh, dear.
What was your favorite trip or your favorite vacation that you ever took with your husband?
Well, we didn't do vacations, though. I guess when Merlin's in high school, we went to Sandusky, Pennsylvania, and on up to New York, Washington, D.C., and up in that northeastern park. And Carl had been in the army in Merlin, so he showed us the old barracks at that time. Were about that, you know.
Yeah.
But some of them were still standing. That was in New Jersey.
Yeah, that was good. Well, before you, it got hard for you to see, what did you like to watch on TV?
Well, I guess just the local news was my favorite part.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not much for TV. I don't have the stories and all that stuff.
Yeah. You never were into the stories.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the important lessons that you've learned in your life?
One of the hard lessons, honey, that I've had to try to work so hard on is being patient. Trying to slow it down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go in a rat race and push ourselves and push ourselves. I'm still working on it, honey.
Describe something in your life that you are proud of.
The thing that I think that's the dearest, one of the things, is my Sunday school class.
You taught me years ago.
That was number one, I think, honey. Outside of family.
In your life, is it different than you kind of imagined?
Oh, yeah, honey. Technology. And I'm so far behind now that I hardly know what they're talking about. Some of those.
What about any regrets or anything in your life that you would change?
If Carmen, you won't get into you know about Joan.
Mm-hmm.
So my life turned on me.
Lots of things happens and in our lives that it would have been different. Did you ever think that you would live to be 94 years old?
Never in my life would have thought. But my mother lived to 93.
She did.
And several have lived to be almost 100. So that it's no new thing, really.
How have you stayed in such good shape?
Am I in good shape, huh?
Yes, you are.
It's just the Lord, honey. Nothing that I've done intentionally. I've worked hard. I don't know if you're going to ask me about walking up and down this hall to teach school. That was hard.
What was the best decade in your lifetime? Like the 30s or the 40s or?
I've never thought of it like that, honey. I'm enjoying life right now, every day. And I just see so many changes. And the opportunities that are out there with my life. There was nothing to do but teach school.
Mm-hmm.
For a lady. And now it's wide open. And there's just no end to it. There's so much and much. How do people make decisions now? With so many things, so many opportunities. And it's amazing.
What life event has helped to make you the person that you are today?
I just think, Carmen, there were so many, honey, that I cannot say one thing. It's just my family and my church family that's been my life, and you know it.
Well, we just got through the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas. What are some of the memories from the holidays that you treasure most? What'd you do with your family over the holidays?
This year
over your life, anytime.
After my life.
Yeah.
It's a little bit. Well, we always would make a big event, and it's a little bit to go on a Christmas tree. It'd be something thing for Mama, and Mama was the one at home. Daddy's gone an awful lot, but we always had a tree, and we would always hang our stockings there by the mantle. You know, we didn't have warm morning stoves or anything like that, and we did not live in the camp houses. I know you may know about that. We always had our home. But anyway, that's beside the point. Anyway, we had these big old long brown stockings we wore all winter, you know. Mm-hmm. And we'd hang them up in the stockings. And one of the tales that I was telling just recently, to somebody that Mama would always, in later years anyway, she'd say, now we're, come on, sit around the fire, you know. Time to write Santa Claus what you want for Christmas. Well, we knew about what we was going to get, but actually we got later, like little table and chairs and little things that maybe everybody didn't get. I take that half. Because Daddy was out more, you know, to reach from a different place. Anyway, we would write Santa Claus, each one of us, a wish list. I used this the other day on the sun. We had a service here, church service, about our, what we wish for. And we got the a big list we wanted. And then the thing was, you write that letter, and then you write your list, I mean, letter, Danny. And then time each one would stick it to try to get it to go up the chimney. And if it would go up the chimney without catching fire, well, you'd get what's on that list, you know. Well, guess how many made it. That's one thing I remember. And it's sometimes some of the hey, Dovey's boys grown, they'd put pieces of coal down in her stockings. Makes think we had a big sum. We always had a half an orange. I remember that, and an orange. We didn't have oranges every day. Wrap. But I remember the nuts and the big Brazil. Only that time of year.
That was it.
You may too. So we had, we'd always get a dollar. And we'd usually run over paying Ennis from the pier to show a dollar. Just to.
Did you get a new pair of shoes at Christmas? No.
I was raised just like Coretta Lynn, you know that.
Yeah.
We got a new pair of shoes at Easter.
At Easter, okay.
And maybe they'd buy me a pair this week, and Mama would set them on the mantle. And one pair, we called them anklets. So, and then the next week, when Daddy'd get paid, get another pair. Mm-hmm. And that'd be our Sunday.
Well, your Sunday, you know, shoes.
And Carmen, everybody went barefooted. We all went barefooted. Maybe Bert said the first day of May, you can wash your hair and go barefoot. If you wash your hair, Bert, you'd get no moisture. I shouldn't go into all that stuff.
Yeah. You mentioned, I want you to touch on this a little bit. You mentioned the camp houses. Explain that just a little bit to everybody that don't really know what that is.
Well, first of all, I don't know who built that was before me. As far as I can remember, we never lived in one. We had their own home. And it was different because there was an upstairs. We had four rooms down and two up. So the boys had one and everybody had one. But the camp houses that I can remember, they were all up crawfish. They were all up greasy. And I'll ask you, do you know who built them? Or any of the companies. See, I don't know that.
No, I think the mining companies did build them.
But yes, but I don't know who
they were. I don't either.
But anyway, in my mind, that they were like an L shape. And there were two rooms and then like the kitchen. And there was no such thing as a living room. It's bedroom. Because usually there were big families, you know.
People didn't sit around like we do. You came in and ate and you went to bed.
Yeah.
Or you were outside.
Yeah. Oh,
working
right.
Or whatever.
But they were just no paint on them, just wooden houses, you know. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you one thing, and if I had thought of it, there was this big store as you start up the Hammer Hill after you go across the bridge. there was this big two-story building called the
Commissary. The Commissary.
I don't know who owned it, some cold copy. And they had scripts, you know, all about the script. They're money. Have you ever seen the pizza script?
Mm-mm.
Have you, Carl?
No, but I've heard of it.
You've heard.
Mm-hmm.
And James Shelby can tell you all about the... Well, anyway, this big two-story commissary belonged to some coal company. I don't know who. And I know that there were apartments up on the upstairs. And I've got a picture of it, but maybe he didn't. And her house was next to the commissary. And, I think at one time it was a company store that you had to just use that script into that particular store, you know. But later, they would have Holy Church there, and we would have movies. We had a magic show. There were different movie houses. Because Horse Creek had the money. Every week they'd get paid. And even in high school, we were the only ones had weekly money.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that, good as I do, that Horse Creek made Manchester bad. Because these farmers got paid once a year when their tobacco came in. But we never. And I'll tell you something else, Carmen, that I forgot to tell you, that I was very blessed as a lady to get to go to high school. Most young ladies are out to their families to work. And Mom and Daddy paid a taxi for me and Ray and Ralph to go to high school, honey. Can you imagine that back at that time?
Very unusual.
I was very fortunate that I was able to go on to high school. So many did not have that opportunity. There were three or four families that you know and I know that could do that. So I was really blessed.
Hama, Seibert, those places were big back then. Tell us about the train that came through here and the stops and your family and going places on the train.
Well, now Phyllis is wanting to tell y'all about that. But they said that Pat Burgundy was, he got part of the job, I'll call it, to lay the rails, to make the bed for the railroad. And I guess they just used a scoop and dynamite, whatever it took. But now the railroad was something because you didn't have all the mud holes and stuff you could walk on the railroad. And we had a game that we were wrong. Walked the railroad track, balancing and all that. But we knew the train men's names, some of them. They would stop and change the switch at third time ahead. Was it go up Crawfish? And we learned their names, some of them. And we'd stand and wave as they left out. And one time a lady, one of our neighbors, we had a Pullman coach, and she took us, I don't know if they let us ride free, and I don't know if we went to town or Gary, on that Pullman train, and we thought, I reckon we used every one of those little papers. We drunk ourselves to death with that cooler type thing. So that's an experience that I had riding the train. And we'll never forget that. Mm-hmm.
One more thing. What about swimming? Didn't you all do a lot of swimming here?
We had two swim holes. We had the Toby hole, you know where Toby is. Well, that was deeper. We had the Hickory hole. So us girls had one place mostly to swim, and the boys on down Toby where it was deeper. And well, they just strip off and jump in and jump out. But we'd play church, you know, we'd baptize. And Lorraine said, "You baptize me." We baptize each other. But we could go in swimming, filthy, you know. You know, the filth and all that. It was like a clan. We minded everybody. And this woman would say, "You boys quit fighting, I'm going to tell you about that." Took care of each other, just like a family.
Well, is there any advice that you could give to the young people of today?
Well, honey, the advice is, try to find what you want to do and then pursue that. Stick with it and give it your best.
Okay, at 94 years old, what, right now, give me one thing that makes you the happiest.
Well, honey, that's a big question. Well, I'm just so thankful every day that I'm up and about and how the Lord has blessed me with my friends. I look forward to you all. Do I need it? Yes, I need it. I need you all. It's something to look forward to. I want to be a part. I don't want to go sit in a room the rest of my life. As long as I can, I hope that I can be an encourager. I want to encourage people. Be happy. What is all this other about too? If you can have contentment and peace and just, I'm a people person. And when I love deeply. And when I hurt deeply. Just so thankful.
Well, people at your age have a lot, as we hear today, have a lot to share with us, and stories and memories, and we look forward to seeing you every day, and we have had the best time talking to you, and we appreciate it.
And we're thankful for you.
Well, I'm so happy that I could do this.
We are too.
We wanted to thank everyone for listening to this very long and very special episode of Tales of the Times. This was a very special episode for us to get to record, and we're very thankful that we were allowed to do so. If you'll join us this Friday, we will reveal this very special mystery guest and give you a few hints about the guest for next week's episode, Tales of the Times, Episode 3, Home Again. Again, thank you very much for your support and listening, and we will see you next time.